Hello and welcome to MMA's The Best Podcast. We've changed the name, but still the same show, still the same kid. Just now we're shifting the focus strictly to MMA. So today we're talking about the fight night between Darren Till and Robert Whittaker on Fight Island. And we're just going to start from the top of the card. There were 15 fights on this card, 8 on the prelims, 7 in the main event. So we're just going to start off with the first fight. Nathaniel Wood versus John Castaneda. So it was a very technical striking performance that Wood dominated for most of the fight. You could just tell Castaneda wasn't quite to his level to be able to throw strike for strike with him. Wood landed over 130 total strikes and was just able to overwhelm Castaneda with his output. Both were throwing a lot of leg kicks, but ultimately Wood was able to work all three levels better. I feel like Castaneda was focusing more on the legs, and Wood was really able to work all three levels and wear down Castaneda. And there was also very little grappling in this match, so we got to really see Nathaniel Wood's striking on display, and it was really just a great fight. And it went to a decision, and Wood took the decision 30-27, 30-27, and 30-27 for all three judges. And so just a really solid performance by him in the first match of the night, and that fight was at bantamweight. So the next fight, a welterweight matchup, was Ramazan Emev versus Nicholas Stolza. It was a pretty close fight. Emev was able to get takedowns early, and Stolza was getting up pretty quick. But about midway through the first round, Emev had a nasty neck crank, but Stolza was able to get out, and the fight continued from there. Back on the feet, Stolza got up, and then after that, Emev continued to dominate the first round with his wrestling, but Stolza hit Emev with a hard knee at the end of the round, which might have given him the round. It was very close. So that might have given him the round, but Emev's wrestling was very dominant through the whole beginning of the round. So the entire second round was pretty much on the feet, and was fairly even, although I think Emev won the second round. And then in the third round, Emev spent dominating in the clinch. But he was unable to secure a takedown until the final seconds of the round. But the clinch work with the takedown at the end of the round was definitely enough to secure him the round. So he won the fight by unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. Just a really good performance. I think he knew that he had to win the third round to really lock it up. And he did a good job just keeping Stolza up against the fence, not letting him strike or knock him out or anything. Just really containing him. So he did a good job there with containing Stolza. So the third fight on the card was Betch Kohea versus Pani Kienzad. So in the beginning, Kohea was throwing very, very wild shots. Well, Kienzad was way more technical with her shots than Kohea was. And at near the end of the round, the clapper went off for 10 seconds, and Kohea thought the round had ended, so she started like walking away back to her corner, and Kienzad started lighting her up with some shots, and even without that, I think Kienzad won the first round because Kohea really wasn't landing her crazy shots. It just, I mean, maybe like one or two she landed, but I would definitely give the striking advantage to Kanzad and the first round to her. So, at the beginning of the second round, Kanzad was hitting Kohea with knees in the clinch, and then Kanzad slipped and Kohea jumped on top. After about a minute, the fight went back to the feet, and then it was a very close second round from there. But I would say Kanzad won the second round just because of her output and ability to control the striking. But it was a very close round because Kohea was able to secure that the top position. So it was a very close round, but I would have given it to Kanzad. So then the third round, Kanzad was throwing very good counters while Kohea was still throwing big haymakers. And Kanzad was also throwing a lot more combinations and landed over 100 significant strikes. You could tell she was really stringing together combinations while Kohea was throwing one, maybe two at most. And I would say Kanzad won the third round because of her superior striking. And it was a great match with both women swinging on the feet for most of the fight. So I really enjoyed the fight. And the judges ended up giving the unanimous decision to Pani Kanzad, 30-27, 30-27, and 29-28. So the next fight, Tanner Boser. He really wanted to go up against Maurice Greene on Fight Island. Didn't end up happening, but he did get to go up against Rafael Pessoa. And so in the first round, both guys were just feeling each other out. Nothing too crazy, but you could tell from the beginning of that round that Boser was so much quicker than Pessoa. And I think that can make Tanner Boser a really good heavyweight because he is really, really quick for the division. And he still has that power. So there wasn't anything crazy in the first round. But both guys were getting their range, and they were both just warming up. And so Boser began the second round with hard leg kicks. And then about midway through the round, Boser dropped Pessoa with a left overhand, and Pessoa's eye was hurt. And then Boser finished the fight on the ground with strikes. And Tanner Boser once again called out Maurice Greene. And I really want to see that fight. I think Boser can beat him. But that it was really good performance from Boser. He had those leg kicks working. When he hit him with the overhand, Pessoa immediately grabbed his eye and he went to the ground, and then Boser was able to just finish it from there. So very dominant performance for him. I think he's taking a quick journey to the top right now, Tanner Boser, because he fought about a month ago, and now he's fighting again, and he's winning, so I think he's really good. So then, Muvsar Ivlev versus Mike Grundy. This was a very solid fight. Grundy got two very well-timed takedowns in the first round, and after the second takedown, he had a very tight Darce choke. But Ivloyev was able to get out. But Ivloyev did have the striking advantage for sure on the feet. I think Grundy won the first round because of the two takedowns. However, Ivloyev did dominate the end of the round. So it could have gone either way, but I had the first round for Grundy. So the second round, Ivloyev was able to keep the fight at striking range for the most part in the second round, and Grundy only wanted to wrestle instead of throwing strikes. And so because of that, I think Ivloyev won the second round. And once again in the third round, Grundy was too committed to the takedown. He wasn't content to just strike, versus Ivloyev was, and he was just eating him up on the feet, while Grundy was chasing the takedown. So I gave that fight for Evloev, and this was in the featherweight division. But I think Evloev has a strong future. He's a really good striker, and he ended up getting the unanimous decision 30-27, 27, and 29-28. So, the next fight, Tom Aspinall versus Jake Collier. Aspinall was making his UFC debut, I believe. Aspinall and Collier were throwing leg kicks. They were trading leg kicks. And then about a minute in, Aspinall hit Collier with a knee and then threw a jab, then a straight right and knocked down Collier, and then ended the fight with strikes on the ground only 45 seconds in. So very dominant performance for Tom Aspinall, and I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him in the UFC. So the next fight on the card was Nicholas Dalby versus Jesse Ronson. Early in the first round, it had seemed as though Dalby had the striking advantage, but Dalby was rushing in, and midway through the round, Ronson threw a straight left and dropped Dalby, but was unable to finish Dalby with strikes. But then Dalby turned his back, as a lot of people do. That's the problem when you're getting rained down ground and pound. You want to get out of that position, but a lot of people, they tend to turn to their backs, and this is what happened in this fight, and Ronson took a hold of the neck and submitted Dalby with a rear naked choke in the first round. So that's what people tend to do. They tend to want to turn to their back, but it can be a very, very bad situation. So here was the featured prelim of the night, I believe, Francisco Trinaldo versus Jai Herbert. So Trinaldo dominated the fight in the first round with his wrestling and submission attempts. And in the first couple seconds of the second round, though, Herbert knocked down Trinaldo and then got the back of Trinaldo. And although he was never able to lock in the rear naked choke, he did spend about half of the round controlling the back. Herbert then finished out the round strong on the feet. At the beginning of the third round, Trinaldo knocked out Herbert early and secured the victory. But it was a really clean shot that knocks down Jai Herbert. And you could tell Herbert was out of it. But for some reason, Herb Dean didn't stop the fight. And he wanted Trinaldo to throw strikes on the ground. I don't know what was happening there. But Trinaldo ended up getting the victory by knockout in a very solid performance. So, the next fight was Khamzat Chimaev versus Rice McKee. Chimaev, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, had the possibility to win two fights in 10 days. And Chimaev took McKee down right away and was throwing strikes while looking for submissions. McKee didn't land a single strike, and about midway through the round, the ref decided he had seen enough and stopped the fight in the first round to give Khamzat Chimaev his second victory in 10 days. And it was just a stunning performance by Chimaev. He just took him down right away, and he was just controlling him on the ground, just throwing strikes. Not too worried about the submission, not trying to chase it. Just continued to throw strikes. Threw about 50 strikes before the ref stepped in and called it. But he wants to fight in about, I don't know, how long is that? That's, what, 21 days he would have now? He would have a month. He would have fought three fights in a month. He's trying to fight at UFC 252, the Miocic Cormier card. Hopefully it happens, because he could get three wins in 31 days, three wins in a month. That'd be very, very impressive. So the next fight was Alex Cowboy Oliveira versus Peter Sabata. And the first round was very close, and both men were able to land very strong kicks to the body. But I would give the round to Oliveira for the power and the octagon control. And then the second round was also fairly close. But I give it to Oliveira due to his output and the power in his shots. You could just tell he had the power advantage. And also, in the second round, you could tell he did a lot of damage to Sabata. And the knockdown he got at the end of the round sealed the round for Oliveira. I would also have to give the third round to Oliveira because of his octagon control and the volume that he was throwing as well. So the judges saw it as I saw it in this welterweight bout, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27, all for Alex Oliveira. A very solid performance for him, and I think he'll be moving up the rankings. Maybe he'll be rated after that matchup. The next fight, Paul Craig versus Antigalov. I'm not even going to attempt to say his first name. So the fight went to the ground quickly in the first round, and Craig was able to lock up a tight triangle after working for it for a while, and that was pretty much it. It was a light heavyweight bout. He had a very nice triangle, and that was it. On the main card, a big spot for Paul Craig. So then the next fight was Carla Esparza versus Mariana Rodriguez. Esparza got a takedown quickly in the first round and spent about half the round staying in the guard of Rodriguez, landing elbows. Then she went for a leg lock and was unable to get it. And then Rodriguez was on top for a little bit and then decided to take the fight back to the feet. And Rodriguez finished off the round strong. I would have given the first round to Rodriguez, because you could see that she had the striking advantage. And yes, Esparza did do a good job when she was on the ground, but I would still give the first round to Rodriguez. So Esparza spent most of the second round on top, and at the end of the second round, she went for a heel hook, but just allowed herself to get hit by giant shots from Rodriguez. But nevertheless, I would give the round to Esparza because of the control time, and she was able to land shots on Rodriguez. In the final round, Esparza was able to land ground and pound and control Rodriguez on the ground, so I would give the final round to Esparza. This was a strawweight matchup for the women, and the judges, it was a split decision, 30-27, 29-28. And the one judge scorecard she lost was 28-29. Esparza won the split decision. But it was kind of like the Michelle Waterson fight. Very close fight. Could have gone either way. I think Esparza just has a problem in her fights without being dominant enough. She doesn't put it away or anything. She doesn't show that she was dominant. But nevertheless, she did end up getting the win. So now we move on to Alexander Gustafsson versus Fabricio Werdum. Werdum and Gustafsson were fairly even on the feet. And you could tell that Gus was quicker. But Werdum was able to get the fight to the ground. And Werdum was on Gustafsson's back. And was going for a rear naked choke, but then transitioned to an armbar, I believe, and he got the submission by armbar in the first round very quick. It was a very nice submission. He was working for about like 30 seconds to a minute, and he did a very good job of securing it. So now we're at Shogun Hua versus Antonio Nogueira III. And Shogun won the previous two matchups. And in this fight, the first round was very even, but Nogueira was able to control the center of the octagon and land big shots. But with 20 seconds left in the round, Shogun had a perfectly timed takedown. I would still give the first round to Nogueira. Because takedowns are big, but when you do it with 20 seconds left, it's like you aren't doing much damage. So I'd still give the round to Nogueira. The second round was very even, with Nogueira controlling some on the ground, and then the rest of the round was even on the feet, but I would give the round to Nogueira. And the third round was also very close. It was a great fight, though. It was a great fight from some old school fighters. It's really great to watch these old school guys, because they go at it. They don't really, they might lack a little technique. They don't have all these, they aren't super technical strikers, but they just want to be in there and give it their all. And the third round was very close, but I would say Shogun landed the more significant strikes, and he was able to get the takedown at the end of the round, so I would give the final round to Shogun. And it was a great fight, no matter who won, because it was such an old-school fight, like I said. And this was in the light heavyweight division, and Shogun got the split decision, 29-28, 29-28, and 28-29. So, it was a close fight. Nogueira's last fight, I believe. But was still a great fight for him. Although he didn't win it, he still fought a very good fight. And so, the main event, what we've all been waiting for, Darren Till versus Robert Whittaker. I was really hyped for this fight. I thought it was going to be a great fight. And it did live up to the expectations. The first round was very close, but I'd give the first round to Till because of the knockdown he had. And Till caught him with a clean left elbow. But the rest of the round was very even, and Whittaker had more of the volume. And I felt as though Till was able to land the bigger strikes. I think that Whittaker won the second round because of the knockdown he got, the control time on the ground, and Whittaker was able to land more of the volume. Round three was as close to even as it gets in my mind, but I would give the accuracy advantage to Till, so I would have given round three to Till, because he was just able to land more like of his percentage, because you could just tell Whittaker was just throwing giant shots and he was missing a lot of them. But I don't really like to look at stats too much, because stats deceive your eyes, because I really like to trust my eyes and like to see what I'm seeing and score the fight that way. And so that's what I did with this fight. And in the fourth round, when Till threw, they were combinations, but Whittaker was throwing a lot more than Till. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here, but when Till did throw, they were in combinations, but they were very few and far between. And in the fourth round, I think Till had the power advantage, but Whittaker seemed to lead the dance more. So that is why I would give the fourth round to Whittaker. The fifth round was another very, very close round, but I would give the round to Till since it did seem as though he was landing the more powerful shots. So my scorecard would have been 48-47 Till, but nevertheless, in this middleweight bout, the judges gave the contest, all three judges gave the contest 48-47 for Robert Whittaker. And Whittaker really wants to go back for that title. What I really would like to see is Whittaker versus Hermanson. I think they should fight to see who gets the next title shot, because Hermanson had a really great showing against Kelvin Gastelum. And I think that could be a great fight. And I think Whittaker should have to win one more fight to get the shot at gold, because there's Paulo Costa versus Izzy Adesanya. That's coming up. So is Whittaker just going to wait until the next time? I really don't like when guys do that. Like, that's what Joanne Calderwood was trying to do. She was just trying to wait. But now she's going back to actually try to fight to earn her shot, which I think is fair, to earn her shot for the title against Valentina Shevchenko. But, yeah, Paulo Costa and Izzy Adesanya, they're going at it at UFC 253. So, I think that Robert Whittaker and Jack Hermanson should fight. And the winner of that should get the title shot. Or you also have Jared Cannonier. I don't know when he's planning on fighting, but I could see a match between him and Hermanson. And then Whittaker does end up getting the title shot. But I just don't think after a very close fight, I don't think he should get a title shot quite yet. I think he should have to win one more fight. But it was a very great card, Whittaker versus Till. All the fights on that card were great. And I especially liked the Khamzat Chimaev with 2 wins in 10 days. I hope he can get another win, which would give him 3 in a month. So that's it for today. That's all I've got. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about why cutting weight is dumb. So, yeah, tune into tomorrow's episode. Thank you for listening.